You're listening to a podcast from Newcastle Baptist Church. Due to the ongoing coronavirus outbreak, all our normal services and events have been suspended. For the next few weeks, we're holding our church services online instead. So if you'd like to watch us instead of listen, then please head to our website, www.newcastlebaptist.org.uk, or search for us on YouTube under the name Newcastle Baptist Church. The content in the video is the same as you'd hear in this podcast. So today's reading, as Tim just said, comes from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 16. Jesus teaches Nicodemus. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things?" "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and do you not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has ever gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life."
So I wonder where you go to when you've got a question. When we were young, I guess we went to our parents and we believed everything they said. And then we got a bit older and questioned it. Perhaps it was teachers. Maybe there was a time when we trusted our politicians to give us all the right answers, or maybe even our pastor. But now, of course, we can just go on the internet. We can type into the search engine of Google and ask any question you want, and you can be guaranteed that there'll be lots of answers coming your way very, very quickly. If you know the series of books called Where's Wally, you'll know that the whole point of that is to find this character Wally in the midst of a crowd. It's been interesting to see a whole new series of Where's Wally Now, where it's just Wally on his own and there's no crowd at all because everybody's isolating. Much easier to find him now. But some of us are searching for essentials. Some of us are searching for vaccines, for ventilators, for personal protective equipment. There's searching going on all over the place. But maybe for some of us, we're searching for faith instead of fear, for hope and not despair, for love and not hate. And perhaps at this time, it's just sharpened up the ongoing search for meaning and purpose. In fact, maybe even for the meaning of life itself. And this time has shaken us out of our normal. It's shaken us out of what we thought we knew. It's shaken us out of what we took for granted. And maybe we're beginning to search again. Of course, we're not the first people to begin to search when we meet something or someone that shakes us out of our complacency. And in our reading, we meet the character called Nicodemus. And when he was shaken out of his own complacency, when he was shaken out of what he felt was normal, or the routines of his life and the rules and the rituals, and suddenly he encountered something or someone who actually questioned a lot of the things that he took for granted. The danger, I guess, when we're searching is that we begin by asking the wrong question. In Douglas Adams' books, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, if you know that series, you'll know that the answer to the ultimate question of life, the universe and everything, is, of course, 42. Don't ask me why it's 42, but in that series of books, that was the answer. But if you read through the book, you'll find that there's a supercomputer called Deep Thought, and it takes the computer 7.5 million years to compute and check the answer, which does actually turn out to be 42. Now, Deep Thought points out that the answer seems meaningless because the beings who instructed it never actually knew what the question was. And in John chapter 3, I think Nicodemus approaches Jesus not really knowing what the question is that he should be asking. Here he was, comfortable, respected, secure, in control. And then Jesus enters into his life. And it's no wonder that he came to Jesus at night, because I think he didn't want to really ask the right question. I wonder what he was expecting to find. He thought he knew the answer, but Jesus, of course, gave him something completely different. I think Nicodemus acknowledged that Jesus was a very good teacher, and maybe he was just searching for more information. I think Nicodemus had seen that Jesus was an extraordinary healer, and maybe Nicodemus wanted to be healed. I think he recognised that Jesus was an exceptional leader, and maybe Nicodemus was looking for direction or inspiration. I think he'd seen that Jesus could be a great friend, and maybe Nicodemus was simply searching for acceptance. And in that encounter, he got an answer to all of those questions. But I think it seems that he wasn't prepared to ask the right question. At this time of worry, uncertainty, confusion, followers of Jesus are also searching, just like Nicodemus. And followers of Jesus are coming to Jesus and searching for the answer to their questions. Why? How long? Why isn't it fair at the moment? Who's got all the toilet rolls? But perhaps today you'll come to him and ask the one question that really matters, the question that Nicodemus didn't ask. During this time of Lent, we're remembering the three testings or temptations that the devil gave to Jesus. See, the devil thought Jesus was searching for satisfaction, and so he tempted him to turn the rocks into bread as an easy answer to cut the corners. I think the devil also thought that Jesus was searching for success, to sell out to a lesser goal, to worship something, to give worth to something that wasn't the ultimate thing to give worship to. And maybe work and relationships and money become the lesser gods that we look for. I think the devil also thought that Jesus was searching for status, and so he could compromise his focus by doing something spectacular. When Nicodemus was searching for something, when he should have been searching for someone, and I think in this encounter he began to realise what was missing in his life. Yeah, if you trace the story of Nicodemus through John's Gospel, you'll see in John chapter 7, verse 50, Nicodemus had got bold enough to speak up for Jesus, or at least to question his colleagues' feeling of who Jesus was. It's like he's beginning to understand something more. I mean, we don't need to defend God during this crisis, but we can speak out with confidence and faith, trusting that God will act at just the right time. And then in John chapter 19, verse 39, we find Nicodemus just a little bit more open about his admiration for Jesus. He accompanies Joseph of Arimathea to put the body of Jesus into a tomb. And we read that Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 35 kilograms. That's 77 pounds in old money. That's 5.5 stone. He must have been a very strong man, and very rich as well, because that was very expensive. But in John chapter 19 and verse 40, we read the rest of this little story when Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea took Jesus' body. They took it, the two of them wrapped it with the spices and strips of linen. This was in accordance with the Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was the Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea laid Jesus there. I wonder what was going on in Nicodemus's own journey towards understanding who Jesus was. But, you know, I wonder if he thought that was the end of the searching. That now Jesus was dead and in the tomb, that was it. I wonder if he expected to see Jesus again. I wondered if he expected that Jesus would come back to life. I wonder if he thought that the best was yet to come. There was one thing I think Nicodemus needed to search for. And if he had, he would have discovered the right answer to the question that he should have been asking. He needed a saviour. And if he'd searched for a saviour, he would have found who Jesus really was. He would have found the meaning of life, what his life was all about. Now, many people have been on that search over many different years, and I just want to introduce Graham to you, and he's going to tell you a little bit of his story, of his search, of his discovery of who Jesus really is.
Good morning. My journey so far. Given me a technical problem, a piece of metal or wood, a transistor, a computer, a technical book, or something to repair, then I'm in my element. Being here now is definitely out of my normal comfort zone. But I wanted to share with you my journey. I have believed in God for as long as I can remember. I did go to Sunday school for a while when I was little, and have been to some churches of differing denominations over the years. I hadn't been to church for a number of years, even for a carol service, and just before Christmas, I said to myself that I should make effort and go to a carol service. On the Sunday before Christmas, we arrived home late afternoon, and I knew there was a service here at this church in the evening, or on Christmas Eve at St. George's in Newcastle. I do have a passion for pipe organs and thought about going to St. George's. I don't know why, but I came here. I did enjoy the service, and during the service, Tim started talking about Fa La La, a course that was starting in January, and inviting anyone to come along. To be honest, I thought it was an odd name and didn't think much about it. During the service, I thought I saw someone who I had not spoken to for a long, long time. As the service ended, I turned around and asked the lady behind, "What is the name of that person?" The Christian name was a name as I remembered, and I walked up to her and asked if she remembered me. She asked my name, thought a little, and said, "You had light blonde hair," and yes, apparently, according to my mum, I did. We chatted for a while, and she asked Tim to come over and briefly discuss Fa La La, what I now know is the Alpha course, which would start on January, on the 9th and on Thursday. The Thursday loomed closer, and I decided why not give it a try. What could I lose? I was apprehensive and sort of excited too, and was directed to the hub to be greeted by Tim and Tom. There were a few other people there too. We sat down and ate a lovely meal, chatting throughout, breaking the ice I felt. Following watching the video, we discussed issues arising from it, and I surprised myself. I was able to ask questions and share my thoughts. We cleared up, and Carol said, "See you on Sunday then." "I think so," I said. Sunday arrived, and as I was walking to the church, I was wondering what the service would be like. Something which I had spoken about on Thursday. The service started with a long song which was totally different to what I had experienced before. I had never sung this or any of the others apart from one. But I felt I knew them and enjoyed singing them and feeling the warmth of the atmosphere in the church. As the service continued, I felt this was my home. Over the following weeks of the Alpha Course, I started to learn more about Jesus and question my thoughts, sharing them with the group more than I ever had before. I think I had a copy of the New Testament for my 18th or 21st birthday, I'm not sure, and the Bible, which was my great-great-grandmother's, neither which I read to any extent. So I bought myself a new Bible, started to read the Book of Mark, and quickly discovered that there was lots of verses that didn't make much sense to me. They were like in another language. Even the disciples didn't necessarily understand them. At school, I found languages difficult, and as soon as I could, I stopped French, German, and Latin, leaving me the sciences and technical subjects, but rather oddly history, which I liked. I later went to university and became a structural engineer. During my spare time, I enjoyed, and still do, making or repairing items as I can see and feel the end result. Now I have found a language that I want to learn, to be able to understand the Bible and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit more. I believe that with God's help and your help, I will succeed. I know not overnight, but with time and some support at times. I can't explain why I choose to come to this carol service at this church, and without meeting a school friend from a long time ago, all I know is without these happening, I doubt if I'd be here today. I am so thankful this did happen and look to know more about God, Jesus and the Bible. I have met some nice people here, including two who taught me at school, which seems a long time ago now. My thanks must go to Tim, Tom and the friends I have made whilst on Alpha, and not forgetting Kerry for the delicious food that she prepared for us. Whilst it is sad that due to the current situation I'm not able to chat with you in person, and some of us will be afraid and anxious, but with our faith, together we will come through this and we will meet in person. My journey continues. Peace and love to us all.
Well, I hope that that encouraged you and that also helped you, perhaps, if you're searching for something, if you're searching for someone. You know, in John chapter 3 of our reading and verse 3, Jesus says that we must be born again, born from above. Something new can happen in us when we really discover who Jesus is. And Jesus said, when that happens, the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God, God's answer to what is happening in our lives and what is happening now, that becomes a reality for today, for now, for our future. I think it's that the search is all about. A search that where we discover the right answer to the right question. That the kingdom of God, the rule and reign of God can happen now. That it is near to us, that it is available to us, that it is there for us to find. That the power of the future comes into our present. And that's why we can be a people of hope still, even during this crisis. The renewal of all things can happen today because it starts in each one of us. It lifts our eyes above what is happening right now. It lifts our eyes to Jesus, the answer we're searching for, the one we can trust now. And when we do that, the Saviour locks his eyes with you because he's searching for you. In verse 14 of our reading, Jesus says, just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. That's not just something for the future, that's something for now. That's about Jesus being with us now, today, right where you are, in the place that you're in, and in the questions that you're asking. Yeah, that idea of the serpent being lifted up comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 to 9. And it's the story of the people of Israel have been bitten by venomous snakes in their journey because they'd sinned. but God provided a way out for them. And all they had to do was to look up at this snake, this serpent on the stand. It was as close as that. The answer was as close as that. You know, I wonder if Nicodemus found Jesus. I wonder if he found the Saviour, the one he could put his hope in, give his life to, hand over his worries and his concerns to. I wonder if he found the one who could offer him the opportunity to be born again, a fresh start, a new beginning, and a future. So can I urge you during this time to search in the right place for the answers to the questions you have. Don't deny the questions. Don't stop searching. But I pray that you'll look up, that you'll put your hope in Jesus. You'll live out that hope in every word you speak to others, in every act of kindness that you perform, as we continue to cry out to God for our community and our nation and our world, that we might look to Jesus. In Psalm 121, the psalmist writes this: I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. You're a carrier of hope, a carrier of good news. So be contagious. May what we're carrying be worth catching. Might we pass on what we found as we look up to Jesus and keep our eyes on him. What was John's comment on what Jesus had to say to Nicodemus that night? In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life now. And he still loves the world so, so much. And he still loves you so, so much. He's worth searching for. He's worth looking at. When you seek him, when you're seeking his love and his presence and his power and his comfort and his strength, you'll find them. Keep on searching, because the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the love that you express to us in who he is, in what he said, and ultimately in the cross and the empty tomb of resurrection. I pray that you'll continue to fill us with your spirit. I pray that you'll continue to help us to see the kingdom in its reality, and that we might receive from you the gift of eternal life for now, for every day, that we would put our trust in you. I thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen.